The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. I hope you're going to have a good time listening, and we're going to find out who the Lord has in store for us. Okay, so if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And, wow, four open lines. Okay, now, we are having a matching, end-of-year matching funds drive for the month of December. And if all you got to do is go to carm.org, carm.org, and you can donate stuff there, and you can do it by mail. The P.O. box is at the bottom of the page, and you can also do it by signing up with something. We use the matching funds drive at the end of the year to really help, because it does make a difference. The first of the year is always tough for us financially. We have to pay a lot of missionaries and insurance stuff, because there are people who threaten to sue, and we'd be ready for that, because what I do is talk about cults and things like that, and we were able to find insurance for that, believe it or not, and other stuff, liability, this and that, you know, just basic stuff. And so we pay once a year, and it's at the beginning of the year. Whew. All right, so we have four open lines, 877-207-2276, and all right, so, well, let's just jump right on the phones here. Let's get to Mark from Florida. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how you doing? It's Mark again from the end mm-hmm. of the show yesterday. We were talking, and the show ended, and he asked me to call back and just finish off what I was saying. So,
sure.
Here it is. It wasn't a question. It was just something interesting that happened to me that I went through about 2 months ago. And you mentioned about you were having issues with diabetes, I actually ran into this problem too, Matt. And I was having symptoms, feeling dizzy, having diarrhea, stuff like that, and mm-hmm. talked to doctors and everything like that. And I actually kicked it, and I found the answer in Scripture. Now, I'm not telling you to go ahead and do this. Yeah, honest to God, I went ahead. And I'm not saying to do this, but it worked for me, so do your research first. But right. I resorted to fasting. And I didn't just go in. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and did fasting, and I didn't go right into it and go, you know, two, three, four days without eating. I did intermittent fasting at first, and then I built myself up to doing it to the point where I could do a 4-day, and I got checked out. And not only did my the issue with diabetes go away, my blood pressure went down. All sorts of great things happened, and I was just searching. I found it as customary in the Bible, and did research outside of that too online. And I don't know. Do your research. It might actually be something that could help. It helped me out for a lot.
Well, I'm interested in it because there's a book called God's Chosen Fast, and it's decades old, but it's really good. And yeah, I have discussed or researched the issue of fasting. Intermittent fasting is really good for you. It really is.
Yeah. I went ahead and I was in a situation where I didn't want to spend money on going to a gym or buying expensive mm-hmm. type of health food, this and that, and the other thing goes. The economic climate right now warrants being careful, obviously. And I said, what can I do? And fasting is free. And it, believe it or not, for me, it was the most effective. It fixed the diabetic situation for me. Mm. I did the research, and they'd done scientific studies on it and found that your body goes into a mode that's called autophagy, where it actually takes what's stored in your body and uses it for energy. Cleans up your arteries, cleans up a lot of bad things that are causing diabetes, especially in your liver. And I did a lot of research on this, and I said, you know, I need to reach out to Pat and let him know about this, because it all started from the Bible. And what better wisdom than God?
That's true.
So
that's true.
That's really all I wanted to say.
Well, I've actually began a light form of intermittent fasting, in that because I have a wonky schedule. I go to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning. That's just how I'm built. It's just how it works. And I've had a habit of kind of taking a snack at like 11 o'clock, which is 3 hours before I go to bed. But now what I've been doing is saying, nope, 9 o'clock. You know, that's 5 hours before I go to bed. And so what I want to do is get to 8 o'clock and then see if I go to 7 o'clock, where it's a longer period of time. And that's a form of intermittent fasting like that. And so there's different ways of fasting. People don't know that, but since we can talk about it, there's fasting where you give up only one meal a day. There's fasting where you do only juices. There's fasting when you eat certain things like vegetables only. There's a different kind of, they're not, you know, so much fasting is in no food, but there are studies that show that by juicing, one study did a juicing thing for 28 days, nothing but juices, where it was veggies and fruit mixed in at certain times. The people would do stuff, and everybody had significant medical health improvement. So there's something about it. And one of the things about fasting I know is good is there's so many chemicals in our body that are from the ground and the plants. In fact, you got me thinking about a lot of stuff here. There's a book I read a while back called The Plant Paradox. It's very interesting, The Plant Paradox. And it had a quote in there, and I don't remember exactly the quote, but it was along the lines of the FDA or whoever it was, an official group said, yeah, our soil is depleted and the plants don't have the nutrients like they used to. And it went on like this for a full paragraph talking about how bad things are. And I went, yeah, that's right. And then the next page, the guy goes, it was like 1927 when this was written. And I went, oh my goodness. And it shows you how bad stuff has gotten, you know, even from then to now. And so fasting gives your body the opportunity to take all those toxins and flush them. But often what happens, maybe you experience this, is you get headaches, dizziness, bad taste in your mouth. You can feel under the weather, like you have a head cold, but you don't, for 2 days. Yeah, and is it
clean? Exactly, the first 2 days. I had to build myself up to it. I started out week by week, first doing 18 hours, then going to 24 the next week, and eventually I got to 4 days. Five days, actually, and then I ended it. And the first 2 days, yeah, you get headaches when you're doing the longer one.
Right.
Afterwards. My blood pressure went way down, everything. Yeah.
Your thinking clears up.
Yeah, and your willpower gets stronger, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was able to conquer some other vices, too, in the process, believe me.
Really?
Yes, it's like exercising your willpower. You know, you exercise your muscles, they get stronger. My willpower got stronger, and I said, if I can do this, I can really conquer other things, and I did. I actually conquered some other bad habits and even sinful ones, too. Not to get into anything, but it worked, and you know, that book, full of wisdom. It's the Bible.
That's true. In fact, just reminded me, because this is interesting. Nobody's waiting right now for a call. So I'm going to do a thing.
Yeah.
When you fast. Just the phrase, when you fast. And that's Matthew 6:17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men. And so there's this phrase, and it occurs, and Jesus is the one who says that, when you fast. So he's not saying if, but when you do this, because it was in the culture, believe it or not, it was a kind of an expected thing to do. Not that your neighbor would get you in trouble if you didn't do it, but they did this kind of thing. In fact, Matthew 6:16, you know, when you're fasting, etc. So your fasting might not be
noticed
by men. Yeah, it's a lot of good stuff.
I even took that into account too. I didn't let me doing it become a burden on others. So it taught me how to control my temperament, control my mood, be of sound mind. It puts that to the test, and it makes me wonder how 40 days our Lord did that. So 5 days was enough for me. So,
well, they say the most I've done is 7 days, and that was years and years and years, 20, 30 years ago. And after the first two or three days, I wanted to start eating carpet because it was looking good to me. And then about the fourth day, all of a sudden, the cravings went away, the lightheadedness went away, and I was feeling better and better. And I was dropping weight, bang, bang, a pound a day easily. And I decided to go back off the fast, just because I decided to. But you can go, the average human male body, adult body, can go 40 days without food, without any damage being done. We have that much stored in our bodies. And Jesus was 40 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. The average person can. Yep.
I just wanted to throw that out there because I maybe something to consider because it worked for me and may even work for you and it'll cost you nothing, it'll do a lot of good. It did a lot of good for me. You've done it in the past, so you know you can do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tried it about a year or so ago and 4 days, and it didn't go well for me. So here's the thing that people need to hear. Now, this is not medical advice, everybody. You got to make your own decisions. You got to know your own body. But the way you did it, that's right. The way you did it is the right way. You tried out a little bit longer. How does it work? How do you react to it? What does it feel like? There's going to be discomfort because you're hungry, but you can always just drink water. And just drink water, and sometimes put lemon juice and vinegar in the water. Not a whole bunch of vinegar, but apple cider vinegar with mother. You put a little capful in that with some lemon, and it really helps too. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, but you got to work into it slowly. That's right.
And that's exactly what I did.
That's right.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, and not if you have a physical job. You got to be careful because you can, if you don't have the energy to do your physical job, like lifting pallets all day, you can't fast and do that. So there's different kinds of fasts, Yeah, there are.
Right.
Anyway, God's Chosen Fast is a good book for that. I'm glad you brought that up. You brought a lot of memories back on all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it also made me think of why, God had, the Jews do this. It's some really good health benefit. And it helps sustain a nation to bring our Lord and Savior into this, I actually have him, he brought himself in.
That's right.
Getting theological. I could see how he cares about us so much and that he sustained a nation by giving health advice. So, I just want to say God bless. Thank you, Matt. And, give it some thought. Maybe it'll help.
Yeah, I will. In fact, I will. In fact, Friday I go to the doctor. We're going to talk about stuff, and I get to figure things out. But, yeah, I'm just on that side of diabetic now. It's really disturbing because I turned 65 on one day, and the next day I found out that I'm just on that other side of diabetes now. And so, just getting older, and you have to...
Yeah, I felt the same way, too, when I found out the same thing 2 months ago. It started in September for me, and I wanted to fix it. But God bless. I'll let you go.
Okay. All right, God bless. Appreciate it, buddy. All right. That was a good call. I thought that was interesting stuff. I hope that sparks some interest in the topic for a lot of people out there. Remember, not advice. Do it yourself. Check with your doctor. But it might help. You never know. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're having fun in the video aspect of the show. I just held up something on the camera that people cannot figure out what it is. It's pretty mean looking. And the crampons for shoes for the walking in the snow. That's all. And so people are in there, what the heck? So we have fun in the chat. If you want to, check it out, all you got to do is go to the carm.org website, carm.org. And I think on the homepage, I think the video is working on that where we go. Or you can go to, Facebook, carm.org Facebook, and we have it there too. Anyway, All right, let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Hey, Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
God bless, Matt. Happy belated birthday, brother.
Hey, man, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, I called yesterday, and I don't even remember the question I was going to say yesterday, but I was going through the book of Daniel, and this caught my attention. I was like, wow, I don't know what it means, and I wanted to bring it to your attention. In verse 35 of Daniel 11, can you read that in context, please?
Let's see.
I was reading out of the ESV, but I know that I have it on the New American Standard right now.
Yeah, let's see. Well, you're looking at verse 35, but 33 says, those who have insight among the people will give understanding. They will fall. We'll give understanding to the many. To the many. Israel is called the many a lot of times, but people don't know that. Yet they will fall by sword and by flame, by captivity and plunder for many days. Now when they fall, they'll be granted a little help, and many will join them in the hypocrisy. Some of those who have insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure till the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. Okay? So what's your question?
Yeah, well, caught my attention was refined. Is this? I know this is talking about verse, I think 36, it talks about the Antichrist. And is this basically the tribulation right here? Or
well, you know, the next one is about the Antichrist, and the king will do as he pleases and will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. And he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. Whoa. Okay. Totally off topic, because the decreed, I've got to memorize this verse address, because there are people who say that God's decrees, God will never decree evil. Or, you know, and they don't understand what decree means, but there it is right there. He decrees the indignation and things like that. So anyway, it's a good verse. I'm always learning from Scripture. Anyway, it looks like it's the purification is the discipline, because fire purifies. And when it says, in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time. You know, persecution and difficulties purifies us. I don't like that it does, but it does. I need a lot of purification, I'll tell you. So that's a dangerous thing to say publicly. But yep. Oh wow, look at that. My coffee cup.
Because I was reading it in the ESV, and it just dawned. I was like, whoa, purified. It's just like, wow. Like, But I was just going to, let me call Matt. Maybe he has a little bit more insight in this.
And the ESV says, and some of the wise shall stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end, for it still awaits the appointed time. Ooh, that sounds scary. You put that on a t-shirt and walk around. And some of the wise shall stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end, for it still awaits the appointed time.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be a good t-shirt. I think it has to do with during the tribulation period, you know, that there's going to be refining done of the people of God. Because that implies from this that we're still here. You know, it implies that. From what we're looking at, it might not. If we really look at it and examine it, might be just getting that wrong. But it's a tough one, you know, for me off the top of my head. But if contextually, it does seem to be kind of related to tribulation, because it talks about the one in the next verse, just like you said, you know, the one who does the indignation, the who utters blasphemous things, probably the Antichrist.
Yeah. Yes. I just wanted to run it by you, and maybe you could. Spend it a little bit more in your spare time.
Oh yeah, in my spare time. Yeah, I got spare time between 1:30 and 2:00 in the morning. That's my spare time. Yeah.
When you're sleeping.
I wish I had the ability to read books and then go over them in my sleep. I knew a guy used to be able to do that. You know, but Yeah, you know, it's just, and plus I'm just getting older and slowing down, so I'm having to make decisions and choices on what I can and can't do. I hate to say it, but that's just how it is. But may the Lord be glorified.
Working on that ab.
I'm trying to change my ab to abs, and I started a new routine at the gym. That's right. I'm going to go on a diet thing. I got to get in shape. My wife needs me to be around. And I also want to, you know, I got to take care of her because of her health issues. But I want to be around as long as possible to serve God in His kingdom. And I need to have an astute mind in order to do that. And so I've discovered this. We were talking about fasting before. I laid off sugar. You know, no M&Ms, no, you know, cake, this or that. Just little things that's always around the house. And and I'll tell you, within 3-4 days, my mind cleared up. So I am done with sugar. Yeah.
Well,
that's right. That's right.
Praise God. And then another thing that I wanted
to
share
with my wife. I'm sorry, what? Go ahead. I overtalked you.
I said another thing that I wanted to share with you. Maybe you can use this in one of your articles, but in the New World Translation, I call it the New World Translation, in Genesis 18, verse 3, is when the Lord appears to Abraham as three men.
Right.
And in the New King James or in the NASB, it says, Lord, Abraham ran to God and kneeled down and said Lord.
Yes,
but in their version... But in their version it says Jehovah, and that's a contradiction in their own Bible and their own trash, because in Exodus 6 verse 3 Jehovah says that he didn't was known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by that name.
Right. Yep. There's a lot of good stuff there about that. Yep. Uh-huh.
I don't know if you have that already or...
Oh, versions of that, but yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you, Matt.
All right, brother.
And another thing real quick, is it YouTube up right now running?
Yes, it is. We're going to be moving over to Matt Slick Live YouTube, and we're still in the process of moving things over, but if you go to YouTube and look up Matt Slick Live, you'll find it, and we should still be on the CARM YouTube one right now, but we're going to switch over by in January. That's all. Okay?
Okay. All right, Matt. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. Bye-bye. Okay. Hey, we'll be back with Mike after the break. Women in places of authority in the church. That's going to be interesting. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's just jump on to the call here. Mike from Iowa, welcome, buddy. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt Slick.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing really well, actually, in spite of
one year of
COVID, pulmonary fibrosis stuff. But overall, I'm doing well. Sugar.
Yeah, get off of sugar. What a difference.
It puts me into a coma, so I'm best off not doing sugar. Anyway, I've had two questions I've wanted to ask you for a while. One is, should I forgive somebody even though they're not repentant? I mean, I believe I know the answer to it, but an evangelist friend of mine says, absolutely not.
No, he's wrong.
I know, but I respect this guy, so now what do I do? Listen to what
show you the verse.
What
okay.
God said.
Okay, let's see. Where is it? It's in Colossians. Colossians 3, forgive as you have been forgiven. And Jesus forgave us all of our sins. And we're to emulate Christ. And so we are to forgive people, even if they don't repent.
Yeah.
That's it. Period.
Seems so wonderfully simple, but the response I got was, well, does God forgive if you don't repent? And I said, but I'm not God.
Right. Right. And God does forgive us our sins we don't repent of. Now, that may sound wrong to a lot of people. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. There are just sins that we don't even know we sin, and we don't repent of them. And then there's sins we've committed that we forget we've done, which can happen, and we don't repent of them, so to speak. And so, yeah, God does forgive us of our sins. And yes, we are obligated to forgive people. And it's not always easy to do that. It is not always easy.
Well, it just seems to, you know, a pet grudge will kill the person who's petting the grudge, I would say. That just leaves bitterness, doesn't it? I know it does for me.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, I'm trying to find where is it? Ephesians 4. Yes. This is Ephesians 4:31. This has to do with forgiveness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So that's Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Now here's the thing. Let bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you. So this is interesting. Bitterness. So someone wrongs me. Whether they really did or didn't, I perceive it as a wrong. Yep. And so I hold a grudge against them. I'm bitter. Well, if I don't forgive, the bitterness will take root and grow into anger, wrath and anger. And eventually it moves into slander. And if it's not put away, it could lead to death, depending. Now, you know, most people are pretty level-headed. They want to go kill somebody because they got insulted. But the thing is, bitterness leads to wrath, and anger, which leads to slander, and it increases. And what happens is, as our heart becomes hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, then we abide in that bitterness, and it becomes our master. We can't hear the voice of God. And so this is why he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So that's the standard, is Christ. Not whether or not that person wronged me, and I have to make sure that person pays. Now there's a difference between forgiving and, so to speak, forgetting, because, you know, if he comes into my house and robs me, and, you know, I end up forgiving him, I'm not going to invite him back in. You know, under normal circumstances, right. You know, that kind of thing. But the idea of forgiveness, and that's what needs to be done. So, okay.
Yeah, I was just surprised that I got that answer. It was like, boy, you know, Mike, you should know that already. What's wrong with you, Michael?
Right.
So the other one is, why shouldn't? Why shouldn't women be in position of leadership? I think I know.
Because the Bible says they're not to be.
I definitely agree with that, but this is where you start poking the bear's nest, or the bee's nest, or poking the bear.
Yeah, I know, for the people who don't believe Scripture and don't want to submit themselves to Scripture, of course.
Well, so, take my wife, please.
I'm already married. Go ahead.
I know. When you start talking, it seems like women are very, very, some women are very offended when you start. I talked about it on my little podcast this morning. When you start talking about the fact that men are to be in a position of leadership, and we need to buck it up, right? That's a serious position.
Yeah, we do. We do need to buck it up. That's absolutely correct. But if women get offended that the Bible says that, my response is, so? Take it up with God. You don't like it, it's not my problem. You have to deal with it before God. And in your rebellion against God, obviously that's why he doesn't want you in that position. Ooh, oh boy, that's how you throw fuel on a fire. But
sometimes she's right.
Well, yeah, of course, women could be right. Of course, we're not talking about that. We're talking about women leadership in the church. They're not to be elders or pastors or deacons. That's what we're talking about. Can women instruct us? Of course they can. My wife has got, you know, except for her taste in men, she's got some pretty good thoughts and some good stuff. And so I listen to her.
I need to remind my wife of that, too. She obviously has really very good taste.
Yeah. Well, probably not good taste in men. Most women don't, in my opinion.
Oh, my wife, ouch.
Well, you know, my wife was back in the day, she still is nice looking, but man, she was, and you know, why was she with me? You know, that just proved to me that she can't be trusted, you know, because her judgment of men is so bad. So I've always been suspicious of her ever since she said I do. Okay. And then you proved it. You don't have good judgment, so I don't know. But but what I do with her when we discuss financial issues, you know, I want to do a financial this or that, I talk to her. And here's the thing. This is one of the examples. I'll talk to her. I have an idea, and I want to hear what she has to say, because sometimes she'll say something that I just hadn't thought of, and it's good, and it's often changed my mind about something because she has wisdom in a different area. Now, it's no problem. Can she be a pastor? No. Can she be an elder? No. I don't care what anybody likes or doesn't like. That's what the scripture says. But it doesn't mean she can't instruct or teach. She's a good woman, except for her taste in men. You know?
So, and I believe wisdom is referred to in the...
In the feminine, in the Proverbs 8.
Yeah.
That's because wisdom has a lot to say.
Oh, wow. I'll remember that one.
I'm in a lot of trouble now.
Just all righty.
Digging myself a hole.
Well, and I'll be down there in the hole with you, sir.
All right, Brett.
All right. Thank you so much. Ben. Love what you do.
All right, buddy. God bless. Thanks. All right. See, that's all in fun, folks. I hope the ladies are laughing. All right. Here's a joke I heard. You know why women... Wait, why do men die sooner than women? You know, in marriages, men don't live as long as women do. Why? Because they're married to women. So I told that to my wife. She chuckled. She thought it was funny. Anyway, I like jokes like that. It's fun. And other guys, too. So I'm not a chauvinist, folks. But it was funny. All right. Let's get to Amar from North Carolina. Amar, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I'm listening to what the previous caller. I'm laughing also what you're talking about. But thank you for taking my call again. I called you yesterday, and I really listen to you every day. I really do. And I asked you about Zachariah. I understand what you said about him. I got that. I read that. I just did not realize what you're saying yesterday.
Okay.
But that's not the reason I'm asking you today.
Okay.
Or I call. I've been around, as I said, I came from the Philippines. I used to be I grew up Catholic. I've been in America almost 30 years. I just came here as soon as Bill Clinton inaugurated. I just came here that year, January of 93. I've listened to being in the South, in the Carolinas and everything, churches everywhere, from Billy Graham to Charlie. I listen to the all. I saturate myself sometimes on those radio talks, like even Ross Limbaugh, you better believe it or not. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't want to go and ponder on that, but I want to ask you, because I have just started listening to you, what directs you to be in the apologetic or to spread
what started
the word of the ministry? I think you've been, because the reason I'm asking that is I'm also feeling leading that way. I asked my former pastor,
okay,
who passed away, bless his heart. But I did not continue that time many years ago. But it's just like it's coming back to me that I want to be like maybe going start to seminary school or small Bible college or something like that.
Okay, so what's your question, though? I'm not sure I understand the question. But we got a break, so hold on, okay? We'll be right back, buddy.
Okay.
Hey, folks, we have one open line, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
I just want to remind you that we're doing an end-of-year fundraising drive, so if you want to help us out, whatever you donate will be doubled. So we have a matching funds drive for the month of December through the end of the year. And all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate. Anything you donate, $5, $1, $100, doesn't matter. It'll be matched. And so it'll be doubled. So we'd appreciate that because we certainly need it, particularly at the beginning of each year when we pay missionaries all over the world and insurance things we got to take care of just because we're ministry. All right, Amor, you're back. Okay, so what's your question, buddy?
Yeah, because as I said, I really like listening to you every day. And, you know, I heard a lot of, back in the days, you know, from Billy Graham to Charles Stanley, mm-hmm. how they, because they went to a revival and changed their life and their little kids.
So what's your, or, but what's your question, though?
So what make you, what point in your life that this is what you want to do? Like,
what you mean, what started me in apologetics?
Passions.
What started me in apologetics?
Well, not only apologetic, but being spreading the word. I mean, that's what
it was.
What you
it
do
was.
What triggered you to do that? You could have been made.
I can tell you.
No,
want to tell you? Okay, I can tell you. Okay, mm-hmm. okay. So a friend of mine named Chuck Spine. He's in the room here. He read me a quote, and we had met like 1 week earlier at a Bible study, 1979 or 1980, I don't know, I just say 1980, and he read me a quote, and this is the quote that he read me. God is in the still small voice and all these affidavits, indictments, it is all of the devil, all corruption. Come on, you prosecutors, your false swears, all hell boil over, your burning mountains roll down your lava, for I will come out on the top at last. I have more to boast of than ever any man had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. A large majority of the whole have stood by me. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such a work as I. And that infuriated me. And I said, I ripped the paper out of his hand. And I said, who said this? And I wasn't in apologetics. I wasn't doing anything. I was just at a Bible study, yeah. you know, checking things out. And I said, who said this?
Yeah.
And he said, Joseph Smith. I said, well, who's that? And he said, the founder of Mormonism. Yeah. And I said, well, Mormons are Christians, but he is not, from saying this. And he looked at me and said, no, Mormons are not Christians. I said, of course they are. He said, no, they're not. And I said, well, why not? And he started telling me what they teach, God from another planet, and goddess wife, and salvation by works. I'm like, what? And so I got upset, and I said, where'd you get this information? He told me there was a Bible study he was going to, taught at a certain place, and near, across the street from Disneyland, actually. And I said, I want to go. Now, this is a Friday night, or I think it was, the Bible study that he introduced this to me. We exchanged phone numbers, and by Saturday morning, I didn't want to go. Sunday morning, I wasn't planning on going. Monday morning, I wasn't planning on going. Tuesday morning, I was not planning on going to this study. I didn't care. And then he called me up. He said, are you going? And I said, yes. And I don't know why I did. I just knew I was supposed to go. And I went, and I've been studying ever since. So that's what got me into it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
That's okay. Go ahead.
But have you... do you go to a church sometime and, like, have you preach in a church? Or
I'm an ex-pastor.
Discussion, debate. I love your debate. I watch them on YouTube, even okay. some old your old debate. I search them yeah. a lot now.
Well, I'm an ex-pastor. I have a Master's of Divinity from Westminster Theological Seminary, and I've been doing apologetics since 1980, and my website, karm.org, since 1995. And I've had the site's had 148 million visitors. And I've been doing radio for 17 years, written 9 books. So do a lot of debates. So I'm not boasting. I'm just saying this is what the Lord has done.
Yeah,
the
I
Lord's
like to
done this, not me. This is
yeah,
him.
We got a... I'm sorry. I have to say, I know you limited time. I'll let you go. I'll call again next time. I got your call. We got a big seminary here in where I live. It's called Southeastern Seminary, Wake Forest, North Carolina. It's a big one. And I kind of, because I'm a nurse and I've been working almost 30 years and I feel like I want to do something more that I kind of make.
Well, we got callers. I want to get to the callers, but I want to tell you something, okay? I'm going to tell you something. That if you want to get into apologetics, you're asking for trouble. Because in order to be an apologist, you've got to learn a great deal, and you have to have your heart scraped from the inside out. God will deal with you. God will teach you. God will put it upon you. And it has to be something that is in you, that you desire to do, because it's a long, lonely road. I have been threatened with death. I've been swatted. I've been threatened with lawsuits. I've been kicked out of churches because of some of the things I've taught and said, because sometimes Christians are just whacked. I've had Mormons threaten me. I've been physically assaulted. I've had Satanists say they want to kill me and my family. We've had the FBI involved in stuff. And so this is the kind of thing that apologetics can lead to. When you defend the faith, you're going after the enemy, not just reacting and waiting till he comes to you. I go after. So this is not easy to do. It's very difficult to do. And it is something that you have to learn all kinds of stuff. You have to have a critical mind and be able to remember a lot of stuff. So I tell people, if you want to be an apologist, you're asking for trouble. But you better be prepared, and you better be ready for God to change you, because it's going to come, and it won't be easy. All right?
Okay, Matt, God bless you, and I keep listening to you. More power to you, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, buddy. God bless, man. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, man.
All right. Okay, let's get to, Adam from Arkansas. Sorry for waiting so long, buddy. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, I got a question. I was in a church across background church, but I wasn't saved through the church of Christ. I was saved at a Celebrate Recovery. Well,
okay.
I know that God drew me to His Son because I've got into the Scriptures, and I acknowledge that He's sovereign over my salvation. Well, I keep debating with Church of Christ, and they keep going to Ezekiel 18:20,
where
we don't pay for the sins of our fathers. Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah,
I keep
the
going
context.
Back to Romans.
Mm-hmm. Good, keep going.
Romans 5:12-21, and highlighting 18, where we were made sinners. And I know you, I learned it from 19. You. It's written in the Aorist. Yeah, all the 5:19 is where it's written in the Aorist
passive
indicative. So that means it's done to us, but they don't want to acknowledge that. Well, now that I'm in a biblically sound, it's a Calvinist leaning church. I love that about it. My pastor is Jeremiah Nortier. He's coming up to upcoming debate on the gospel
what's
truth.
What's your question, though? Okay, we're running out of time. We've got callers waiting.
My question is, he's wanting me to. I'm getting rebaptized because the guy that baptized me doesn't hold to sola fide. Is that appropriate for me to be rebaptized?
Let me ask you. He doesn't believe in faith alone? So in other words, this gets complicated. So he was saying that you have to do good works to be saved?
Yeah, they believe in baptism or regeneration.
Okay.
It's church cross.
So I'm not going to get into the depth of the theology of the issue of what baptism is and who is the ultimate author of it, which is God. An atheist could baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and it's a legitimate baptism. Baptism is not made valid or invalid in the Trinitarian sense, by the baptizer. So we can make the argument that even though it's a Church of Christ heretic, that your baptism is valid. However, what I like to say is that theologically people can understand this, but in a heartfelt sense they're not comfortable with it. And so they can understand it, but it's like, I just want to get baptized again and make sure. And I think that that's okay. Even though the Bible says one faith, one Lord, one baptism, I don't think it necessitates only one act of baptism is permitted. So I think that if you want to get baptized in a proper sense outside the Church of Christ, I'm for it. I would do it. I mean, I would rebaptize you. But if you were to say, I think it theologically it was still valid, even though it was a heretic, I would say, okay, no problem. All right?
All right. Thank you very much, Matt.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to get rebaptized because every time we see somebody getting baptized, they held by the sola fide. So I'm held by my conscience to be rebaptized.
Good. Before your conscience, before God. And God's not going to punish you. And blame you if it somehow is wrong, and I don't believe it is, even though I say I don't believe it is, maybe it is, but I don't believe so, he's not going to punish you, all right? You're trying to honor him, and that's what the issue is here. All right, buddy?
All right, thank you, Matt.
All right, man. God bless. All right.
God bless.
Okay. All right, let's get to Jason from Arizona. Jason, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Matt. Appreciate it.
Sure.
My question is, I'm reading a lot of commentaries on specifically Romans 11:29 about the gifts of God are irrevocable.
Uh-huh.
And most of the commentaries that I were reading, Matt, were saying, you know, that just applies to Jews and God's plan for the Jewish nation. It's almost like they were trying to rob me of, as a Christian, like, of, well, what about eternal life as a free gift? That, like, they're omitting that.
Right.
Do we know for a fact that eternal life is irrevocable in Romans 11:29?
Well, eternal life is spoken of as the word, Greek word charisma, which is in Romans 6:23, for the free gift of God's eternal life. The word gift is charisma. The word for gifts here and the gifts of the calling of God are irrevocable in Romans 11:29 is also charisma. So salvation is a charismatic gift, and it's irrevocable. I think it's a good verse for eternal security. God will not revoke that gift. Now, there's different levels of giftings. I'm going quickly because we're running out of time. There's what's called the sign gifts and the general gifts. The sign gifts, speaking in tongues and things like that. People say that those have ended with the completion of the canon. And I don't agree with that. Now, they could be right. I don't believe they are. I'm open to being corrected, but I just don't see that as being biblical. And so, you know, okay, I'm not going to disfellowship myself from somebody who holds that position. And so...
These commentaries that are saying, oh, that can just be applied to Jews, but, like, they're not taking it as a Christian for themselves. Is there... Why are they doing that, do you think? And there's only
everybody,
one commentary that... Yeah, go
everybody
ahead.
Has presuppositions, and they'll argue from the presuppositional base. So, for example, when you go to 1 Corinthians 13, when it says, when the perfect comes in verse 10, the partial shall be done away. They say the perfect means the completion of the Bible, but it's never used in that way in the Bible. And so they have their presuppositions, and they'll argue the rest of it in light of the presupposition. I don't do that. I just say, well, what is... you don't have time to get into it, but I have a way of looking at it and say, what does it say? Let's look at how the words are used. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. So commentaries have their ways of doing that as well. This is why the scripture should always be superior.
I thought it would be illogical for them to omit eternal life, but just say, no, this just pertains to the plans of God for the Jews and the...
I agree with you. Call back tomorrow. We don't want to go so fast, and we could talk about that and the issue, because it's worth it. Okay, buddy, we've got to go. Sorry, Jason. Call back tomorrow. Hey, Gabriel, I know you waited a half hour. I apologize for that. Why we reject the Apocrypha. Please call back tomorrow. Let's talk about that, because I'll give you the reason we reject it, and it should be rejected as inspired. God bless, everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.